President Trump has never liked Benjamin Netanyahu, but he puts up with him because, well, he's in charge of the United States. But over the weekend, things came to a head with Trump calling Netanyahu, expecting a positive response when they were on the phone, telling him that Hamas has agreed to the framework of the ceasefire deal and to release all hostages. Netanyahu told Trump on the phone, quote, "It doesn't mean anything," end quote. To which Trump told Netanyahu, quote, "I don't know why you're always so effing negative. Take the win. This is a win. Take it," end quote. Of course, once Bibi gets those hostages back, it's game over for him and his corrupt government, and he knows it. That's why today he's backtracking, as Chris Menahan writes. Netanyahu is trying to weasel out of a peace deal by insisting that Hamas release all their captives before Israel withdraws from Gaza. And here is his comments. Watch.
Well, we accepted the deal, as did all the world. It was President Trump's plan. Hamas says that it accepted the deal. Now the onus is on Hamas. This plan consists of two parts. The first part is releasing all the hostages. Israel makes a tactical withdrawal, stays in Gaza. And then the second part is meant to demilitarize Gaza and disarm Hamas. That will be negotiated. But the first part is there. It's agreed upon. And that could be indeed the beginning of the end of the war.
Good. Well, yeah, okay. But it was never about getting hostages back. Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't care at all about those hostages. And Israel knows it. The families of those hostages have been protesting Benjamin Netanyahu and his government. They've been protesting in Tel Aviv for a long time now.
Now, you'll know that this is true because tomorrow is October 7th. Who will we see speak is released hostages. We will not hear from the families of the current hostages who have been fighting the Netanyahu government. So when that propaganda starts hitting you hard and heavy tomorrow, look out for who you get to hear from.
Exactly. And the media that you're being spoon-fed tomorrow on October 7th, they know this is about taking over that destroyed land, expanding Israel's borders. We got new drone footage in of what remains of Gaza, and it's absolutely devastating. There's nothing left, of course, in large swaths of this area. Absolutely devastating. These hostages are simply an excuse. The moment those hostages are released, game over. Colonel Daniel Davis hosts The Deep Dive with Daniel Davis. Great show, and he joins us now to examine all of the pieces of this framework of this ceasefire. First, great to see you, Colonel. What do you make of Prime Minister Netanyahu's comments there about where we are right now with the ceasefire and the potential end of this war?
Well, listen, I don't think that he wants the war to end. I think that it's you said it very well a second ago, and I think I would even add to it that even domestically, politically, that there's too many people in Israel that are angry about the possibility, Ben-Gvir being one of them, Smotrich being another one, and large numbers of other Israelis. They don't want a deal that leaves the Palestinians in place. They don't want a deal that's going to result in the Palestinians staying and being rebuilt, because they want to take this opportunity to eradicate them one way or the other. So I doubt very seriously whether this is going to come to an end or not. And whatever President Trump says, and in that same interview that you showed there with Benjamin Netanyahu, he really emphasized that if this doesn't happen, if the Hamas doesn't accept it and meet all the terms that they've had, then he said, then we will do whatever we need to on the ground to win the thing. And he was citing Trump, who's put out a Truth Social, who said that basically Hamas had to accept the deal or there would be massive bloodshed. I don't know how much more massive you can get than what's happened for the past 2 years, but Netanyahu certainly seized on it. So whatever Trump may be saying behind the scenes, he's given every incentive for Benjamin Netanyahu to continue going on down the path he's at. So I want this to be over more than I can possibly tell you, just for the humanity of these people that are suffering beyond what anyone can imagine. But I just don't feel very confident that that's going to happen.
Now, I feel very much like the White House is portraying this as President Trump has strong-armed Netanyahu towards accepting this deal. Now, my question about the logic of that is that if President Trump had the ability to use this power over Netanyahu, he could have done it January of 2025. So now that there may be some way to present this as a public relations win, the White House can kind of say that President Trump used his influence. But I think that's a mirage. It doesn't seem like he has any. So what do you make of this propaganda that the White House has sway over Israel?
Well, listen, I mean, let's back up. You mentioned January when he first came into office. Remember, he started off, President Trump did, with a big political win because he got them to actually have a ceasefire when the Biden administration didn't even make an attempt all before that. And everything was in place. Don't forget this, to get all of the hostages back. All of them. So many of them were alive then that aren't now. And so that's something that's going to have to be reconciled. But there was a plan in place. All Israel had to do was just abide by the terms. They would have gotten Hamas out. They would have gotten a military victory in the war. And of course, most importantly, they would have gotten all their hostages back. That's not what Netanyahu wanted, because he didn't want then to have the Hamas or the Palestinian people stay in there any more than he does now. That's why I say that I don't think that there's any validity to this. I think, to your point, Natalie, I think that it is all political theater. And towards what end for President Trump, I don't know. I don't see how he benefits from what happened after the January ceasefire fell apart, because he had every right and every flexibility and authority at that time, definitely leverage, where he could have said, hey, that's BS. You follow the terms of this thing, or I'm cutting off all of your supplies. He could have done that then, but he chose not to, and instead allowed Netanyahu to violate it and then just blame Hamas, like is always the case. And now then here we are in another case to where he's allegedly said there's going to be, you know, peace, eternal peace now throughout the Middle East. And, you know, part of me thinks he wants that Nobel Peace Prize so much that he would like to see it happen. But I don't know that that's going to be enough for him to go against Netanyahu if Netanyahu doesn't come through again.
Which so, he I mean, said he won't. He said if we conceive in any way that Hamas is not honoring their part of the deal, we're going to keep going. He's given himself an out in the White House. He did that last week. Sorry, Clayton, go ahead. You.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, well, that's, I mean, let's jump to that one as well, because, you know, you had this 21-point plan that was published that Witkoff had come up with and had agreed to, and that President Trump presumably had agreed to prior to that Netanyahu meeting. And then when Netanyahu came out, they had that joint press conference, and Netanyahu said, yes, I agree with President Trump. And then some of the main points that were in that 21-point plan were not in the Netanyahu part that came out there. And you didn't hear Trump push back on that. You didn't hear anybody in the administration push back on there. I mean, some of the key things were, the 21-point plan said that there would be a path to Palestinian statehood someday. There would at least be the theoretical possibility of that, that the Palestinian people would be providing for their security, that the Israeli side would fully withdraw. Netanyahu contradicted that and said, number one, at the UN General Assembly right before that, he pounded on the desk and said there would be no Palestinian state, because that would help them out and reward them for 10-7, et cetera. So he said, absolutely not, categorically. He said, we will provide security indefinitely, as far as we can see. There was no other plan on the table than that, and of course, nothing for the Palestinian statehood. Those were major components, and he contradicted the president right there on the press conference, and nobody ever did anything. So I'm sorry, but you have to ask the question, who's in charge here?
Yeah, well, I think we clearly know who's in charge in Washington, D.C., and that person flies from Tel Aviv on multiple visits to lay down the smack to tell them what we're going to do here. Let's talk about Hamas, though, Colonel, because I don't think that's a part of the story that's really been covered deeply. I mean, it seems like they're out of options here. This is probably going to be the best scenario they get, I would think, at this stage, because what else is left? Total bloodshed. I mean, because to me, it seems like we're at a tipping point moment right now. Like, this is the end of the road right now. You either come to a table, come to an agreement. Yes, you're going to be conciliatory towards Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli side. Otherwise, it's just total destruction. And now you've gotten carte blanche to be carpet bombed and destroyed.
Well, here's the problem is that, and this was admitted by Emmanuel Macron sitting right next to Trump a week or so ago. He said, listen, the number of so-called Hamas fighters is nearly the same today as it was on 10-7, 2023. And this is something I've been warning about from the very, very beginning, that the more people that you kill and the more civilians that you kill, the more enemy that you create. So I said it's just a churn. And I would even argue that I bet if you could somehow count, and who knows how it, even Macron came up with this, that there's probably more so-called Hamas fighters today, meaning anyone who's against the Palestinians today, than there were then, because you've murdered so many innocent women and children and old people and all that, is that they're naturally going to rise up and try to defeat the people who are killing them on a daily basis, irrespective of whether they're Hamas or not. So you can't really kill Hamas. And if you keep fighting, you will have to literally kill the whole population. So that's the first point on that, that there's not a military victory for you, for Israel to have, unless they just wipe everyone out. But there, to back to your Hamas point here, in my view, they have a single card to play, and it's not a bad one. It's a pretty strong one, but it's going to require eating all of their honor and credibility. But it is a big one to play. If they say, we will give all the hostages back, period, all the living, all the deceased, we will walk away from power, we will disarm, we will take advantage of your amnesty offer, which was in the 21-point plan, if that's still on the table anyway, they'll say, literally, we'll do everything that you ask with no exceptions, and we'll leave tomorrow. Then that puts Netanyahu in a really tough place, because now then, if Hamas does everything that they're asking for, and then they leave, now then, and they get all their hostages back, upon what basis can Netanyahu say, we're still going to fight? Now then, he's stuck with, we have to abide by our end of the deal here, or I think you may get to the point to where even the Western world finally says, okay, that's it. Now that it's been exposed that you just want to slaughter all the people. So I think that is the best card that Hamas could play right now, and would probably be, you know, some kind of a legacy from their perspective. But if they make a bad choice, and listen, we also got to be honest. When 10-7 happened, I'm going to do a show tomorrow that chronicles what happened from 1946 all the way up to 10-7, and it shows one of the reasons why it's not surprising what happened here. But Hamas's actions there have caused so much destruction to their people and a terrible thing to their population. That was the worst thing they could have done. This is the one thing that they can do that can help their people out and end the suffering. We'll see if they take it.
Right.
Wow, sobering. But you're right. And whether or not, because it really would box in Benjamin Netanyahu. You've got everything you asked for, and then some. And now you're going to continue to bomb people. But they would love nothing more from this full land grab. There's a lot of money sitting in them there. Natural gas, all that, trillions of dollars in natural Palestinian gas sitting right off the coastline. I just don't think they're going to walk away from it that easily, even if they get these hostages back. Colonel, great to see you as always. We'll be looking forward to your coverage tomorrow on October 7th. Thank you for this. We'll be watching, as always, Daniel Davis Deep Dive. You can check it out tomorrow as he chronicles everything from 1947 all the way up until October 7th. Thanks, Colonel. Great to see you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.